You have found the Business Broker Growth Show with your host, Jason Cutter. This is the podcast for brokers who are ready to stop hoping for deals and start growing their pipeline. Our goal is to bring you strategies, stories, and insights that will be a catalyst to move you quickly from transactional deal makers to trusted advisors. Time for Business Broker Growth.
Hey everybody, Jason here, back with the after show with my friend Brandon Owens of First Choice Business Brokers. Brandon, how was the first segment? How was that after our little break?
I don't know. It wasn't that difficult. I mean, we're talking about stuff that I do, so it kind of came naturally, I hope.
Yeah, it did. It flowed really well. It's interesting how the time flies and, you know, having a conversation like this. I think it's fun and interesting, and then you know, where the conversations go, what ends up being valuable that we talk about. And then, you know, it's always fascinating to find out what others might be, you know, might get value from as well. For people tuning in, obviously this is the after show, the second segment, some additional questions. I've actually spoken with some brokers that they really like this after show because of the questions. It's kind of an interesting mix. It's a little bit different. If you didn't check it out, please make sure to check out the first episode. It will probably mean this makes a lot more sense, and you'll get a lot of value from that. So, Brandon, you ready for some hard hitting questions? Just kidding.
I've had it. Sure.
All right. So let's, the first one that I ask everyone is if you think about it and plan ahead, what do you think brokers, M&A intermediaries will need to do to be successful in 5 years, which is now 2031, as crazy as that sounds?
Oh my gosh. Belly up to the AI bar and engage social media it's like there's no tomorrow, period, the end. That's it, those two.
What, now, the second question is generally, what is the number one tech shift coming to M&A? When you say belly up to the AI bar, what does that mean for you relative to business brokers? Because there's a lot of ways you can use AI.
So when you're researching an industry that, you know, you're going to do evaluation for a company, you're going to do some research on the industry, et cetera, the old school method, I could sink 4 to 6, maybe 8 hours into looking up information that's relevant that, you know, not all businesses are created equally. You know, you can say a manufacturing business making $5 million versus say one making 15, there's going to be different levels of comps and different EBITDA multiples that you're dealing with. And the information that you have that's available to you is limited through some of the old methods. Mm. What AI is doing is changing that radically. You have at your fingertips, you don't drink from a fire hose and take everything that you get from it, as you know, with zero checking, but it'll give you the resources that you can find very quickly and shorten that 4 to 8 hour search journey down to 5 to 10 minutes, which allows you more time to actually read the relevant pieces of information that you're given and make a good decision relative to your client and the engagement that you're taking. So there's just so many other aspects that are that AI is bringing and that and impacts that it's going to have that at some point, you know, will probably revolutionize this industry to some degree.
Yeah. And it's interesting, right? I'm gonna date myself age-wise, but I think this generally applies to most business brokers, maybe not all of them, maybe not most, but I remember a time in school early on in the library having to look something up, then find the card catalog, and then find, you know, the book on the shelf, and then all that process, right? Yeah. And then you fast forward a whole bunch of years to being able to search for something online, maybe in the library, but maybe just online. Think of that progression to save all that time so you can do what you need to do, right? In that mode there, it was like, find the book and then find the part so I can do the actual research. And so when I hear you talking about it, it's like cutting down that hunting time. So then it's the study time, right? Because there's still the part that you have to do with that information, but gathering that information, like, just make it quicker.
Yeah. And you know, phrasing your search and getting it correct and learning how to, it learns you as you use it too. That's the haunting thing about AI. Is that it learns how you want to see the information because of the phraseology that you use when you ask the question and then your follow-up questions. But yeah, I I was kind of pushed into it by accident. And then I thought, well, I was sitting at my desk one day and I thought, well, I wonder what ChatGPT or Copilot or somebody else would say about this. And I punched in a question that I knew the answer to, right?
Yeah.
And voila, it was correct. And then I looked at the source and I thought, well, hell, that's not far off at all. So started experimenting it a little bit more. And now I'm starting to use it and I'm becoming lazy to some degree. Like you can, if you're looking for a car, you can go in there and say, well, here's what I like in cars. This is what I've had in the past. This is what I like and didn't like. And it'll spit out and say, here are the best cars that you could be looking at right now. Good grief. Yeah. You know, it shortens a lot of your research time, you know, down to nothing, but it gives you more time to do the cerebral stuff that you really want time to do, which is to evaluate this fact versus that fact, and then maybe drill down a little deeper so that you're arriving at a safe conclusion.
Yeah, I think that's good. Sidebar question for you. Because of sure. how you started with business brokerage as a buyer and the frustration and the pool of buyers and what you deal with now with a pool of buyers on the listing, where do you see a tech shift for the buyer side? Do you have any thoughts on that?
You know, I really don't. I think that the current system is... The current system's kind of rigged unfairly against buyers, because unless you're right in front of a business broker or you bought something from them before, you're another name. So there's probably an opportunity for someone out there to apply some tool where you can kind of help someone like me evaluate this seller versus that seller and an entire pool of them and say, okay, here's the priority of what your call should be based on the strength of this person's either financial background, their capital injection availability, et cetera, so that it's just not this wild, wild west approach right now. Usually it's the empty can rattles the most, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. That's who's getting the attention. And I feel there are only so many hours in the day, and I on a really popular listing, there is no way I can call everyone back that calls me, not and still have a life outside of business brokerage. But you know, even the emails become a little onerous to deal with. But I don't know that I have a clear picture of what is going to happen in the future as it relates to kind of streamlining that for them.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it is an interesting thing, because if you think of the closest comparison possible, which would be residential or commercial real estate, in that mode there, like residential real estate, there's currently a broker on both sides. And so there's some desire to make a good marketplace where, you know, the buyers can find what they need and the sellers can list what they need, right? In the game that you play in, there's generally not a representation or a desire to care what the buyer can find, or making sure that's, you know, there enough to get a buyer, but not like in that same mode.
If you're listening to this and thinking, I need this level of authority, I just don't have time to build it, that's exactly what Business Broker Growth does for you. Most brokers know that they need consistent content, better positioning, and real digital visibility. They just don't have the bandwidth to create it or the systems to keep it going. That's what we do here. We build that whole thing for you. The content engine, the visibility strategy, and the authority signals, everything we've talked about here on the podcast. So if you want to add impact without adding another full-time job to your plate, go to businessbrokergrowth.com to learn more about what it could look like for your business.
You know, they're enough to get a buyer, but not like in that same mode.
I think that's worth exploring for just one second, because the one thing I have seen in the last 2 to 3 years are more buyer engagements where they are frustrated buyers because they don't have the time to go find the business that they're looking for, but they know the type of business, the geography, the size, et cetera. And there are more and more business brokers out there taking buyer engagements. I'm one of them, you know, you make your money as a finder's fee on locating that business for them. It's just not something this industry is geared toward very well. Taking buyer engagements and then doing a specific search for one individual. So there's opportunity out there without a doubt. And there's a good friend of mine who owns another first choice office that is going down that path right now. And I speak to him on occasion and pick his brain, because I certainly want to know, is this a viable option? Because it certainly answers part of the problem.
Yeah.
But, and it would start to steer this industry a little closer to what the real estate industry looks like, where you have someone representing both sides.
Yeah.
Right now, it's very, very lopsided. You ordinarily get a business broker representing the business only, and the buyer is on their own.
On their own. That's it. Next question. When you look at last year, 2025, mm-hmm. what was one of the biggest lessons you learned that would have been, what, your fifth, sixth year in the industry?
Don't forget your first success and how you got there, and don't leave that behind. So pivoting toward technology, using Facebook, Google Ads, et cetera, it's easy to throw that over the fence and forget what got you here. And what got me here was just picking up the darn phone, you know, and mm-hmm. calling on business owners that I thought met a certain profile. And it may not be the business owner that actually turns into a listing. He or she may know someone during that conversation that you're having, and it's worth 5 minutes of your time to call someone. And it's not some daunting task. Most people, when you call them and you ask them if they're interested in selling the business, they don't scream and yell at you. They just say either say yes or no. And in some of those conversations, you actually they'll talk to you and say, no, but I know a buddy of mine that probably should sell. Well, was that worth 5 minutes of your time? Not saying that we all have time to do that, but don't forget how you got here, because those rules still apply.
Yeah. I think that's great. I think that's a very valuable lesson, and I haven't heard that one before. I mean, you know, thinking about what you did in the beginning to get the pipeline going or to create the success, what happens? Us humans were really good at, like, all right, let's use more technology or more efficiency, more systems, let's scale, let's, you know, set up automation, and kind of forget what got you here. And usually what got you there or helped you in the beginning was relationship building, and relationship building is a, you know, as they say, a belly to belly, human to human interaction, where it's like you've got to be doing those things, right? And then you kind of lose sight of that and forget.
Before a seller ever speaks to you, they look you up. They scan your name, they search your LinkedIn, they read your last few posts, and in about 60 seconds, they decide whether you feel like a trusted advisor or just another broker. Most brokers never see that moment, but it happens every day. That's why we built the Digital Impact Assessment. It's a structured evaluation of how your online presence actually shows up in four ways: authority, positioning, visibility, and engagement. And if you want to know what sellers are seeing before they book a call with you, just remember, you can't improve what you don't measure. All right, now back to this amazing conversation.
And then you kind of lose sight of that and forget.
I'm not saying technology can't sell your business for you.
Yeah,
it certainly is not going to negotiate very well for you. Back and forth, that human dynamic is still there. And let's face it, I mean, who the heck wants to talk to a robocall or an email? Yeah. I mean, most people would much prefer to talk on the phone. Now, my daughters might disagree with me on that. If I call them directly, they ask me why I didn't text them first. So who knows?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm that way too. Like if my parents call me, it must be an emergency, because even with my age and their age, like, what's going on? Because once they retired, they were super busy. When they were working, they were super busy. They know I'm busy. So we text and maybe coordinate a phone call. Now they live close by, which is great. But like, otherwise, that's how we just do things, because everyone is busy or doing other things. But here's the difference. This is the fascinating thing. Your daughters would disagree, like, don't call me. Why are you calling me on text? But your daughters aren't trying to sell their legacy and the largest transaction in their life, right? Like the same in the mode where it was like, people could just get mortgages online. They don't have to talk to anybody. Maybe do real estate without talking to anybody. If you've done enough transactions, you're okay with that. I'm okay with buying a car from a vending machine instead of dealing with a car salesperson, because I've done the process enough and I know what I want to get. If you've never done it before, you're absolutely not going to get your mortgage online and deal with a robo real estate agent. In the same way, if you've never sold a business before, you need a person. Like, that's all that matters, is a person who's a professional.
Well, yeah. And here's the other salient fact about selling your business. Most people selling their business, they've never done it before and never will do it again.
Ever.
And all of the information, the resources, and the someone who can point out where the landmines are, where the snakes in the grass are, that is learned over years, and you're not going to learn it on some portal or some YouTube video. You can learn some of it, but not all of it. There's no way.
No. And learning comes from experience. And do you really want to risk that on learning it yourself? Right. And messing up.
Not if you're selling a $10 million business. No, absolutely not.
No. All right. Next one. So that was last year, talking about that part, which is interesting. I love that response. We talk about this year, 2026. We're already basically 2 months in. But what are you excited most about this year for your business?
Oh, there's just a renewed sense of activity this year. I think that I share that with the other folks that are in the same business that, I can't quite put my finger on what it was or what it is. I know that the government shutdown in November definitely slowed some transactions down for some folks, myself included. But ever since the beginning of the year, it feels like this happens every year, but I see a much more renewed sense of activity. And I think that silver tsunami is just starting to crest a little bit, where some of these folks they're well into their mid-60s and early 70s. And they're ready to cash out, and they're ready to go to out west in a Sprinter van and spend 30 days doing it without having to answer a phone call about HR issues or supply issues, et cetera. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I think that momentum is interesting. I was talking to someone else about that, where, you know, last year in the beginning of 2025, the election had been done, new president in place, but what's going to happen? And then the tariffs and then all of that concern. And like, I think there was a lot of stuff on hold, and economy and wars and all of that stuff kind of put on hold. Now, like, even before recently, it felt like the tariff stuff was just stable. It is what it is. Here's what's going to happen. And then I feel, and no big election years are really bad because everyone is worried in 2024. And then, last year, everyone was on the edge of their seat. And now it's like, okay, we know what's happening. Let's just get back to business. Let's just make things happen in 2026.
Yeah, there's probably a lot to that. I know that around the election 24 and into 25, there was definitely a lot of folks that just like, I have no idea what's going on. I don't know if I want to sell yet. And I think that there's been enough runway behind us between that and now where people are like, okay, it's a known quantity. This is what the economy is doing. The wheels didn't fall off the bus despite the and some of the other things. So let's just move on.
Yeah.
But then there's just that other component. There's that aging out population that owns a lot of businesses. And I honestly think that silver tsunami is starting to crest, and we're going to see more and more of it.
Makes sense. Last question. If you could wave a magic wand and have any marketing activity or strategy implemented and done for you automatically, what would you get off your plate or off of your to-do list?
Part of what we're doing right now is just video production, because I think that people definitely appreciate to see a talking head, short soundbite, put it on social media on a routine basis, and not necessarily talk about anything under the sun. Tell business owners what they don't know, what they need.
Yeah.
And just give a little 30-second lesson every one or once or twice a week. If somebody could just produce that for me like that, I would love it.
Well, I happen to know somebody who could do that, but that's a totally different topic. But that one is definitely good. And I think what's interesting is that, you know, there's a lot of people out there, experts, professionals, where they have things they could share, and the educational piece that's so important in your industry. And then it's either the bandwidth to make it happen, the challenges with the logistics of actually recording, and then there's all the production and the editing and all that other stuff. And it's also where, you know, outsourcing and then partners and then also technology, you know, going back to the technology piece, where that's just also getting easier and easier to do. And you think, well, now there's too much content, but there's never too much content, right? It's just not a thing if you look at the stats. You know, like if it's valuable, people, the right people will find it.
That's amazing. The amount of, we have an insatiable appetite for moving pictures and videos. Look at TikTok and look at Reels. Good Lord.
Yeah,
you could lose a whole hour every day just scrolling through some of that silly stuff. the ones that catch my attention are the ones that, you know, have something to say that interests me directly. And
it is.
Trust me, yeah. there are business owners out there that would love to hear a 30-minute segment about, okay, this is why you should have your, you know, clean financials in the last 3 years leading up to the sale of your business. And here's the do's and don'ts. Well,
yeah,
that's good information. We need to get that out as a public service announcement more than anything else.
Yeah. 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 I think so. So, well, Brandon, I appreciate you being here. Extra bonus time in the after show and answering all these questions. It was interesting because we dove into some things really deeper than normally do in the after show. So this was valuable. I took even more notes than I had the first time. Hopefully you had a good time. I appreciate you being here, giving us even extra time.
Likewise, I appreciate it. I had a great time and thank you very much.
Yeah. And for everyone tuning in, if you want to get a hold of Brandon, the links will be in the show notes. Mentioned them in the first show. You can go to businessforsaleohio.com. You can find him, Brandon Owens, on LinkedIn. His email will be in the show notes as well. And you can find him, reach out to him, talk to him, get these nuggets, get some value. If you're, you know, if you're a business broker or a business owner, definitely chat with him. And you know, if you have a daycare, definitely see Brandon. you know, if you watch the first episode, you know what that means. But again, appreciate you being here. Thanks everyone else for tuning in. And until next time, stop hoping for deals and start growing your pipeline.
Thanks for tuning in to the Business Broker Growth Show hosted by Jason Cutter. If today's episode helped you think differently about how to build your pipeline and grow your business, share it with another broker who's ready to make the shift from hoping for listings to engineering them. Join us again for the next episode of the Business Broker Growth Show, where brokers become trusted advisors.